Just before the sermon, I was thinking during the life of the church, what a privilege it is for us to be part of what God is doing here. Steve Davis and the new junior high ministry, we could go right through this incredible new movement of God at all age levels, at all stages in our church's life. And it seemed to me that really we can have two responses. We can have a negative response of saying, why does this growth have to keep coming? Why do we have to be involved? Why can't we just be sort of comfortable in church? And believe it or not, I share in that at times. And then there's the other response, that we were called as disciples of Jesus to a warfare with the powers of evil, that we're called to build a kingdom, and that this is not a life of luxury, it's a life of warfare. A life of strain, a life of struggle, that we're called to deny ourselves and pick up a cross. And, you know, that's that kind of tension as this congregation goes into this year we're going to feel. But I need to tell you, from deacons and sessions and staff, we've already committed ourselves to pull all the stops and being responsive to what God is doing. We're not creating it, but we are responding, and we hope fearlessly and faithfully. And we're trusting that there won't be a gap between the leadership and you, the people, but that together, if we don't do it together, we won't do it at all. We'll be able to respond to this new day. And I believe that as we look back someday, maybe from heaven, we're going to see this was a visitation from God. And I hope you're having a growing excitement about it and a growing determination to be part of it rather than just observing it. One final note, if you missed the little announcement at the beginning, we have a little... I'll call it a cold in our sound system, and if you're hearing a buzz during the sermon, I'm not going to allow that to distract me. I highlight it again for you. Ignore the buzz. It will come and go. But listen, as is our subject today, to the word of the Lord, as we now ask God's blessing upon our hearing today. Would you bow in prayer with me? Our Lord, it is a thrill to be part of your church family, to know you know us by name, and to feel that you're using us to touch others who are right now living without you, and they have a chance to hear Jesus and find life and a new beginning. And we know in order to reach people, we have to hear them, and we pray that you will be with us now, and we study still another dimension of what it means to love as you love us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. And that's what we're doing this morning. We're continuing our series on learning how to love as Jesus loves us, and we go around this diamond of His love, and we find so many facets, so many dimensions, and one today is a little disgust factor, but one we need to hear desperately, and that is learning how to love through listening. Helen Keller was asked, if you could have either hearing or sight, which would you prefer? Her answer surprised me. Her answer was hearing. I believe the ability to really hear, to listen to another person, is fast becoming a lost art in human relationships. An elder gave me an article from Forbes claiming that the main task of consultants is becoming a process of solving problems through coming in and listening to employees, because managers will not or cannot take the time to hear their own employees. Obviously, this is an oversimplification, but it makes a point about the importance of listening. One man came up to me after the 8 o'clock service and said he spent $200 in seeking a professional person to listen to him because he couldn't find anyone in the church to really make time or have time for him. Another elder suggested that a current thrust in selling is to listen to the client's needs and sell to meet needs, rather than seek to convince a client to buy a product they may not need. Our kind of world is making hearing more difficult. Noise levels in our daily environment are causing a loss of physical hearing. I'm concerned about my teenagers when they go to a loud concert, and we know through tests that their hearing is at least temporarily greatly impaired, but permanently over a long period, possibly. Stress levels, preoccupation with success and making money, with self, with sin, is causing a hearing loss in our hearts. And this is what Jesus deals with in the text. When he talks about our hearts, the ears of our hearts becoming dull of hearing, that we hear but we don't hear. That's serious. It was serious then, it's serious now. Now, our church possesses many preachers and teachers and evangelists, prayer warriors, mission troopers, all desperately needed ministries. And yet, one of the most desperate needed ministries, and something most of us could learn how to do well, is the ministry of being a listener. How long has it been since someone complimented you for being a good listener? How long since someone just simply said, "Hey, thanks for listening. Thanks for not giving me advice, but just hearing me." A great act of love is to give to another person our undivided attention. Because of this noisy, stress-filled environment that we're talking about, that we know so well by experience, you know, you and I have developed a very sophisticated skill in hearing without listening, in becoming selective to what and to whom we will listen, and above all, for the sake of emotional survival, we have become proficient at shutting people off. Now, the agony in this is we've become very skilled in shutting the little people off. And we're very apt to just listen to the people who can hear us and help us, but we don't want to touch and talk to and listen to the little people who don't have anything to offer us. As we become serious then about loving each other as Jesus loves us, I believe it's important we study what Scripture says about listening, and I'm amazed at how much it has to say. A first lesson. Did you know that Scripture links the ability to listen to each other with our willingness to listen to God? I'll reread that Ecclesiastes. Wisdom. Guard your steps when you go to the house of God. To draw near to listen is better than to offer the sacrifice of fools. Sacrifice meaning attempting to do something in the name of God before you've heard what He wants you to do. Elijah learned that the ears of our hearts become very easily stopped up, and we become unable to hear the still small voice of the Lord above the noise of earthquake, wind, and fire, and we could add automobiles and all of the various noise levels and stress levels that you and I live with every single day. Let me suggest that God is a gentleman, and He will not burst into your daily life and into your daily conversations like a lot of other impolite people do, unless He's invited. Listen to Revelation 3:20. Have you ever heard it in this dimension? "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, then I'll come in to him and eat with him and he with me." Suggesting that our ability to talk with God is somehow dependent upon our inviting Him to come and join us. God speaks to us when we read Scripture, when we have personal prayer, during our worship and class study that's happening right this hour, through other people in small groups if we're part of one, and through creation when you're walking through the trees of Tahoe or at the beach. Now, if we choose to avoid places and times where God speaks, if we stay so busy in pursuing the things of this life that we are never quiet enough to hear His still small voice or go where He's using people to speak, then it shouldn't surprise us if suddenly God seems far away and even unconcerned. Like I've mentioned the bumper sticker that I loved. It asks the question, "Feel far from God? Guess who moved?" And that's a point, you see. God has not withdrawn from us, but we shut Him out by choosing, subtly or not so subtly, lesser things. Now here's the vital first point about listening. When we choose to allow God's voice to be drowned out by our daily schedule, soon the voices of people with needs for whom God is holding us responsible to care for will also be lost in the roar of daily activity. Losing God and losing neighbors who need us go hand in hand, you see. Losing the ability to hear the voice of our Heavenly Father allows our preoccupation with the idols of this world to come and turn the select knob of our selective hearing, and we point it toward those people who are going to benefit us, who are going to advance our business for the day, and we just tune out the little people who are broken and need us. And you see, we don't usually have time for both. And if we don't hear the still small voice of God giving us our orders for the day, we'll obviously choose those who advance us. Now, as a pastor, I struggle with that every day. I can't see all of you people. I can't begin to see everybody who wants to see me every day, and same with you. How do we choose? Well, I begin by taking some time at the beginning of the day and plugging in to the small voice of the Lord and getting into Scripture and tuning my antenna to Him so that then I can hear those urges and directives over the thrust of my own ego and my own selfishness. I'm going to give you a bottom line today of everything I'm going to say about listening. And in terms of our forgetful curve, or remembrance curve, if you want to say it positively, you'll probably in a week forget most of what I say this morning. That's distressing. I hope you'll remember this. Being heard is so close to being loved that the two acts are indistinguishable. I want to say that again. Being heard is so close to being loved that the two acts are indistinguishable. What does that mean? If you don't have time to listen to a person, don't bother saying you love them. That includes a mate, a child, a parent, a friend, a needy neighbor. I love you is meaningless if we don't take time to use the God-given gift of listening and conversation. So if you're busy with other things and you say, I don't have time to listen to you today, what you're really saying is, I don't have time to love you today. That's hard. It's biblical and it's true. To listen to someone is to love them as Jesus loves us. James offers this little pithy piece of wisdom about listening. Know this, my beloved brethren. Let everyone be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to anger. If only we would be quick to listen and slower to have something to say before we even know what the person needs to hear, or slower to grow in anger until we find out what's shaking up the person. The first lesson, if we drown God's voice out, we will not be able to hear the voice of our needy neighbor. We will not be in a position to love as Jesus loves. A second lesson about listening is to realize giving our undivided attention, which is listening to a person, is a choice with a high price tag. I don't want to sell this thing cheap or easily this morning. Setting priorities about to whom we will listen is costly for a number of reasons. For first of all, to make time for one person means we have to say no to another person. I find that a tough decision. You see, often we feel conflict between giving time to a person God's still small voice is urging us to serve versus giving time to that person who's on the phone calling long distance, who's a business associate, a client, or a neighbor, or someone else. We have to choose. We can't listen to everybody. I find making, again, such a decision tough. Listening with undivided attention requires hard work of concentrating so much on the person that we shut out our personal agendas and pressures, and we're not thinking, how can I manipulate this person around to serve me? The Christian listener just sits and hears that person's heart, and we're not trying to use them or abuse them in any way. We simply let them talk in an environment of love. That happens very rarely today. You know, people know if we're being honest listeners. You and I are very good at looking at somebody in the eye and looking like we're listening, and our mind is just racing like yours might be right now in 100 different directions. You know, we're skilled at that. My wife knows when I'm hearing her and when I'm just standing there, and so do my children. You know, when I'm preoccupied and my body's there, but I'm somewhere else, then I'll just simply ask, hey, Walt, where are you? And you know, I know I'm had. The point, unless we're giving the hard work of undivided attention to somebody, we might as well not bother. That's not listening. Have you ever had your child when they're tiny? And I love children. No wonder Jesus loved them. They're so brutally honest. A small child seek your attention by manually grabbing your chin, putting their face right next to your face and saying, Daddy, listen to me. I want to talk to you. You know, they're lower and we're kind of up here in the stratosphere and preoccupied with powerful things. No wonder they have to use some tactics to get our attention. But you and I are in the same position. Most of us need to be listened to, and we don't feel we're the important people, and not everybody's so up there preoccupied with the big stuff. We just want to grab them by the chin and say, listen to me. Giving undivided attention is hard work from a mechanical viewpoint. Did you know that there are 600,000 words available in English, with an educated adult using approximately 2,000? And for the most used 500 words, a standard dictionary lists 14,000 definitions. We have to listen carefully when somebody's using words. Add the nonverbal dimensions of communication, where we understand that 80% of what we communicate is nonverbal, and I think that's awesome. And the challenge emerges again. To whom are we choosing to listen? To those God has called us to serve, or to those who can serve us? Listening is costly. It's hard work. We can't listen to everybody. Are we in this world to advance ourselves, or in this world to serve those little people, the unimportant people Jesus has called us to love? A third lesson in learning to listen, and perhaps the most important, is learning to suspend our expectations and judgments. You know, so often our communication with God centers in our efforts to convince Him to do what we want Him to do, rather than listening to His will for us. And unfortunately, we adopt those habits of behavior with each other. We tend to listen to one another with stereotypes. You know, Mrs. Jones or Smith has been, excuse those names, we have Jones and Smith here. Let's say just Mr. and Mrs. have been around this church for years. We get to know each other. You know, we tend to build up stereotypes of what they're going to say, so that when we see them on Sunday morning, we don't hear them at all. We've already anticipated what they're going to say, and we've turned them off. That's not how a family ought to be in Jesus Christ. We tend to listen to one another with stereotypes, evaluations, and expectations, and that's a habit that blocks off communication as a church family. Here's a story. I think it's beautiful. A family of three, mom, dad, and son, sat down in a restaurant and began to order dinner. And what will you have? Asked the waitress, and six-year-old Johnny was quick to reply, I'll have a hamburger, french fries, and a Coke. His mother said, Johnny will have a Salisbury steak and mixed vegetables. The waitress, without batting an eye, looked right at Johnny and said, do you want ketchup and mustard on that hamburger? And Johnny turned to his mother in astonishment and said, hey, Mom, she thinks I'm real. You see, suspending our tendency to judge another person while we listen to them, ceasing to make people accept what we think is the best solution for them, as did the mother for her son's diet, communicates to our neighbor a love that's unbelievable. I think you're real and you're worth my time and your opinions are valuable and I don't want to change them. Now keep in mind, being heard is so close to being loved that it's almost impossible to distinguish between these two acts. If you want to love someone, make time to listen to them, and if you can't make time to listen to them, don't debauch the word love by saying, I love you. Listening without judgment shows respect for the other person's freedom to perceive, to feel, to value, to hold opinions different from our own. In the midst of such an atmosphere of respect and freedom, people feel heard. But you say, well, preacher, what about people who have values different than mine? By listening, am I condoning? How will I ever change them if I don't tell them? Well, I'll tell you, by telling them, you're not going to change them, that's for sure. But providing an environment of unconditional love, where that person senses, here's someone who I know doesn't agree with me, but they're willing to hear me, that person will take more risks. And gradually they'll unload these deep poisons out of their heart. They'll bring these feelings out and deal with them in that gentle environment of another person who cares. Don't ever come from a relationship with a person where you say, well, all I did was just listen. If you've listened, you've done the most healing, therapeutic, loving act you can give to another human being. Listening is healing. God doesn't ask us to have answers or to make judgments or to offer magic cures for people's needs. Only a heart that will enter their heart and listen. Remember how our Lord began his ministry? God said, "This is my beloved Son." What? Listen to him. As we conclude, we're seeking to love like Jesus loves this year. What does that specifically mean? Do you remember when Jesus and his ministry, if you study it in the Gospels, if it's really analyzed, was he a guy with a fire hose who just shot his love all over the multitudes? No. The thing that amazed me most is Jesus, who came here to save the world, always singled out people, and usually very surprising people, to listen to. The disciples came back one day, they found him sitting on a wall with a prostitute, much less, and also a non-Jew, a Samaritan, and they couldn't believe it. This guy was talking to her, just listening. But that woman soon came and called him Savior. Then he went into a little runt's house named Zacchaeus, who was a tax collector. Everybody hated him. He had dinner with him, and Zacchaeus came out saved. And then children, who were a lost art in those days, Jesus would sit and they'd all come climbing all over him. I can just see it. He took time for children. You know, in our big success mode of mass communication and bigness and being somebody, I call you today to the simple power of Jesus Christ. As you leave here and go about your daily life, the profound acts of love are done in the little acts, the decisions of making time to hear the little people, the nobodies, the little child, the mate, the person who needs you, as did Jesus. And may God open the ears of our hearts that we might begin again to hear him and hear his still small voice, so we can go out and listen with the ears of our hearts in doing what I think is one of the most powerful Christian ministries in the world, to listen to another person just because we're trying to give them Christ's love. In the name of the Father and Son and Holy Spirit, Amen.